This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Tuesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And we have got a full studio today because it is Tuesday, and that means it's Real Estate Insights. Ooh. So joining us in the studio today, live and in person, Amy McLeod, the McLeod Group, Keller Williams, and Elizabeth Smith with the Smith Mortgage Team. Ladies, welcome. It's great to see you.
Hello, hello.
Good to see you.
And we're all feeling kind of spicy today, a little spicy. I think it's going to be a spicy show.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Amy, you're like, mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Loaded for bear.
Well, let's just get right out of the gate. What do you think, Hunter? Should we just get started?
Well, I'm looking at the show prep, and it literally says, Elizabeth, to start us off, and then look out.
I know. I'm like, all right. I love these shows. So I know, as always, we're going to have great information. So yes, Elizabeth, let's get started. Talk to us about what's going on in the mortgage world.
Oh, you know, it's been a very interesting couple of months here. We had rates going down, you know, under 6% in February. And then, boom, in March, we jumped back up to 6.64%. The Iran war, that immediately had an effect because it's in reaction to the bond markets and inflation. And so, you know, the bonds didn't care for that. Gas goes up, everything gets expensive. That's the inflationary piece. And that's where the rates just, they don't like inflation. And that's what we've been battling over the last couple of years.
Who does?
Yeah. Now they have kind of come back down. There's a little bit of, you know, it was getting crazy though. I can't even tell you the number of times we're getting reprices in the middle of the day. So you usually get your rate sheet and it's like, this is what it is today. And then all of a sudden it's like, nope. And then nope. Oh yeah, back up, down. And I get these text messages. And it's funny because I get this like alert. And you're getting like 10 a day. It was that volatile. And it was finally like one day our lock desk said, okay, we're done locking any rates today. We can't do this. So we're going to close it until tomorrow. That was a little wild. You don't really see that. Actually, in 3 years, that's the first time I've ever received a text from my back office saying we're shutting off the lock desk because of the volatility.
Wow.
And it was so much, and it wasn't really any data coming out. Most rates were moving because of data. It was people talking on the news. Mm-hmm. Trump would say something, it'd go this way. Somebody else would say something, no, that's a lie. Or then Iran would say, well, we did this. And so there was, you really couldn't tell what was going on, and it was just creating these huge swings in the market. It seems to have started to calm down a little bit. And buyers are definitely out getting pre-approved. I think we issued 6 last week. So that was a good week for pre-approvals. And that's like everybody's turned all their documents in and they're like actively going to go shopping. They're ready to, you know, do everything. So that was a good sign because there for about 2 weeks, that phone wasn't ringing much.
Really?
News swings like that, it just panics people. I had one lady back out of a contract completely just because of the Iran war. She just freaked out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my recommendation is turn off the news, listen to your mortgage lender, and don't follow all that because it just, you know, 2 weeks later, guess what? Everything's kind of settling itself down. We're back at 6.375, you know. So
that's crazy.
It's a very emotional thing for most people. But, you know, if you get a contract, you get a rate you like, lock the loan, close your deal, and move on. That's what I always just tell people.
Don't keep checking X.
Yeah. Oh, you can drive yourself crazy. I hear it. I'm like, talk to clients. I'm like, hey, don't do that to yourself. That is not good for you.
It's so interesting, though, to hear you say that because it sounds like this is sort of a relatively new phenomenon where the news cycle and what's happening globally, nationally is really kind of driving it. And it seems like people are more cued into it. But then it's hard to tell fact from fiction.
Yeah, and it's exactly. But that market can't tell fact from fiction either. And so emotions, it's just wild. You know, the news, how quickly we get news. Is it accurate news? Is it not accurate news? Is it coming from one country? Is it coming from another? You don't know. And so these kind of volatile times really create this dynamic that, again, you can get yourself all caught up in it. But when we really do the math on the loan amount and your payment, it's not changing that much. Like, just listen to your lender. We'll figure out what your payment is, make it work, and buy your house. And if the rates get great later, you can always refi. I posted that on social media. I don't know if you saw it. Mm-hmm. We did our back office did this little equation. It's like if you were to buy a house at $350,000, or you waited for it to get better by a half a point interest rate, but the cost went up to 370, it's actually more expensive with the rate lower rate if it went up 20 grand.
I saw that post.
Did
I
you
saw
see that? Yeah. And yes, so I was like, yes. Here's the math, guys. Like, don't wait, because paying more for the house in the long run when you could refi, it just makes more sense. If your timing is right for you, don't let the market dictate the decision. Just work with somebody and figure out your math and move on. All the emotions need to be put to rest.
And how do you get some people? I mean, you know, some of us wear them on our sleeves and some of us don't. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the social media angle, which tends to sort of exacerbate it all and magnify it. And then so you've got to be a little bit of a counselor.
We are so much of a counselor. I mean, it's probably once a day I'm texting or talking to at least one client that's just in a panic about something. And, you know, whether it's a home inspection, I think we've talked about that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just take a breath. Look at the math. Math never lies. If it still works in your budget, you know, cut that one coffee out a week and you'll make up the difference in the rate swing. It's not that big a deal.
I wonder, because we talk about it a lot, algorithms on social media.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And you never really think about it. If I'm checking Zillow or I'm checking sites or anything regularly, my phone is picking that up.
Yes.
And now all of a sudden I'm being force-fed all this information constantly about what the market's doing and home values and interest rates and everything
else.
And I'm going, you never think about how deep that really goes, especially with as much time as we spend on our devices.
Absolutely. And, you know, there is a setting in Facebook that you can turn that off, just as an FYI.
What? Wait a minute. Where's that setting?
It's in under the securities. You can just like ask your AI guy, hey, how do you turn it off? But I would highly recommend turning that off because it does do that. Google, same way. It basically says not to share the information among apps. And then also don't let it hear you talking. You ever notice that sometimes you talk about something and all of a sudden it's all over your Google or all over your Facebook?
I've even noticed if I hover or leave something on my screen for more than like a split second, it thinks I want to see, you know, whatever it is I was hovered over. I mean, and that's, and so Hunter, you make a really good point about the algorithms. All of a sudden, if you've got a little stress and you look up one thing, it's bombarding you.
Yeah, negativity.
And it's all kind of in that same vein. It's just, it's incredible.
Yeah, if you click on something that's negative, you click on a negative article about the world falling apart and the rates going to crap and everything else, literally you are going to get 10 more of those articles because that's what they think you're interested in. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I always tell everybody, I'm like, be careful what you put on social media, but also be careful what you click on because it will feed you whatever you want.
I think one of the things people won't see in their feed or on the news is that the value of a house on average doubles every 20 years. Mm-hmm. And this new generation of buyers has waited to buy until they were 40. They've lost at least 20 years of equity and now only have 20 years to create equity for their retirement. So waiting is not the way to win. No. And, you know, little clue, you might have to sacrifice, you know, some things like Netflix and Paramount Plus and your coffee every single day, all those things that like our generation didn't have, those are eating out of your budget that could be going towards the purchase of a home.
Do you get pushback from that age group saying, well, you don't know what it's like. You had it so easy. I see there's, you know, you've got, it seems like everything is driven to be conflict. There's conflict of generations. There's conflict of information. There's conflict on which side of this you're on and that you're on. So if you do kind of lay it out that way, do they balk at that or does that resonate? Does that reach people?
My approach is to try and keep it hopeful and encouraging, to give them suggestions or, you know, the best way is ask questions. What could you cut? So then it's their idea and not mine. But whenever on some occasions when they talk, you know, I tell them we paid, our first house was 18% interest only. Yeah. Well, your house was so much cheaper. Uh-huh. And so was our paycheck. We were spending 50% of our take home on our house. And my husband did three jobs to do it, and I did too. So, and we weren't going to Starbucks every day. So, you
it's
know,
all relative.
They, you know, they, that, that, that yeah. argument doesn't fly with me.
Yeah. And it is all relative. You're right. Because, you know, bread was like, well, I don't know, 29 cents a loaf. Was that like in the 30s? I don't know. Yeah. But I would I remember gas right around $1. Something.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really pretty cheap. So everything was, it is all relative, Elizabeth. Uh-huh. You're right. Because the paychecks were smaller and everything was different. And you can sort of, you know, zoom out and look at society writ large on how we got here. But it sounds like the bottom line is, focus, really focus. Trust the people that you're working with. Trust you, Elizabeth, if you've got an issue. If you're, it sounds like you're open, I can, you know, walk you through what the facts are.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's where we start off. It's the first two questions when I talk with a client. It's like, tell me how much money do you have? Do you have saved up? Then we create a plan and we're like, okay, you don't have it yet. Or I look at your job. I look at your job history. I talk to you about your job. Do you like your job? Because I don't want you to buy a house and 6 months later, you're stuck in your job because you have to pay your house payment. Like, what's your upward mobility? Are you on a trajectory for raises? Does this make sense? And then we ask about what's your budget? And we go through your bank account and go, okay, well, is there anything in here you could cut that would help you make that higher payment? Because I know it's expensive. I know a starting house is $3,000.
Which is crazy. Real quick before we go to break, I did want to ask you, I thought I saw you posted something on this.
Yeah.
What happens if I'm starting a new job? A lot of people think that you have to put everything on hold, that you're sort of back to square one. That's not true, though, is it?
No, it's not, actually. And people will think they have to be in that particular job. But as long as you don't have a big job gap and you go from this job to another job, but it's relatively connected, then you're fine. It's
okay.
Now, if you go self-employed, that's a different story. Then I need like a 2-year history. But if you are going from, like, I worked at Salem Hospital and now I'm moving to the Silverton Hospital, this in the same line of work. So therefore, you know, with your offer letter, we can move forward. So that was, that's a big one. It's the 2-year work history versus like the 2 years of like in the same line of work. There's some confusion there.
Yeah. And I saw that post and I thought that I wanted to ask you about that because I think I bought into that too. You're like, well, gosh, I'm changing jobs. Does that mean I have to put everything on hold? And you're saying no. Based on with those caveats. So that's good to know.
Yeah. And God bless the guy. He actually called me. He's pre-approved and he called me and he goes, hey, I have a job opportunity. Is this okay if I take this role? And it wasn't in the same kind of field that he is in. So I said, well, you know, you were in the military. What did you do in the military? And it turns out that what he did in the military 5 years ago was the same line of work that he was going into. So even though he did something else in the middle, he had 5 years in that line of work. He did something else for 5 years and he was going back to it. So that's fine. We're good. But a lot of people have that confusion. I just need 2 years tied together in that same line of work and then we can go from there on your income.
Cool. I think probably most people have that. So,
okay,
good.
Yeah.
Myth busted.
Yeah, I love busting myths.
I love it. All right, let's go ahead and take our first break. We're talking real estate insights today with Amy McLeod and Elizabeth Smith. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care and Color Tile of Salem.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. Okay, so we're talking real estate insights today with Amy and Elizabeth. So, Amy, you're the agent, you as an agent, you're my guide in all of this. You're there to hold my hand, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll hold your hand.
Okay, you're there for that, to provide insights and information, but you're not there, you know, I'm not going to vent on you. I don't necessarily, you know, all my agita and all my angst doesn't go to you. I need to look at you as a guide who's going to kind of walk me through all this.
You promise you're not going to vent on me?
Well, I don't know, Amy. I don't know. I do have a little agita. Maybe a little will leak out. But
well, let me just say it's been a heck of a couple of weeks, and I want to try and help. You know, every agent I know, every agent, it gets into this business, and they enjoy people, and they want to help people.
Yeah.
And then something happens. So today I want to talk about something that's happening more and more in real estate right now. And it's not about interest rates or inventory. It's about relationships, specifically the relationship between a seller and their real estate agent in a market that feels uncertain, reactive, and at times really frustrating. Mm-hmm. So let's be honest. Today's market is not what it was a couple years ago. And buyers are more cautious. They're frankly more selective, and they're definitely more vocal. And that means that sellers are hearing things they don't always want to hear. So here's what I'm seeing. Agents are doing their job bringing back feedback from showings, open houses, and buyer agents. And instead of that feedback being received as helpful information, it's being rejected. Or worse, the agent becomes the target. Ooh. And sellers are getting defensive, sometimes even aggressive. And it creates tension where there should be trust. So let me unpack why I think this is happening.
Okay.
For many sellers, their home is deeply personal. Mm-hmm. It's not just a financial asset. It's where they've lived, raised their families, created memories. So when a buyer walks through and says it feels dated, or the layout doesn't work, or it stinks, or it's overpriced for what it is, it can feel like criticism, not feedback. But here's the key distinction. Feedback is data. It's not judgment. And in this market, data is everything. So your agent isn't the one saying these things. They're the messenger. And they're collecting real-time market reactions and bringing them to you so you can make informed decisions. But when sellers push back, they argue, dismiss, or shoot the messenger, or flat out refuse to meet with their agent to receive the data, it creates a breakdown in the relationship. And let me tell you, that breakdown has consequences. Mm-hmm. First, it erodes trust. A strong client-agent relationship is built on honesty. Your agent needs to be able to tell you the truth, even when it's something you don't want to hear. If they start feeling like they can't bring you feedback without being met with resistance, mm-hmm. or frankly, hostility, one of two things is going to happen. Either your agent's going to stop being fully transparent with you, or the relationship becomes strained and ineffective. And this is when you start to hear people complaining about, my agent doesn't call me. Mm-hmm. 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 Do you have some DNA in that? Mm-hmm. Sometimes the agent is in the wrong, but mm-hmm. other times, no. Neither of these outcomes are going to help you sell your house. Second, this posturing slows down decision-making. In a shifting market, timing absolutely matters. If your home isn't getting offers, the market is telling you something. And if buyers consistently comment on price, condition, smell, or layout, that's not coincidence. That's a pattern. And patterns require action. But when sellers argue with their agent over every piece of feedback, delay adjustments, or insist the market is wrong, mm-hmm. they lose valuable time. And in real estate, time will cost you money. Which brings us to the third point, and this is a big one. It directly impacts your bottom line. The longer a house sits on the market, the more leverage buyers gain. And they want leverage as revenge for what happened in the unicorn years. Price reductions become more significant, negotiating power shifts, and often the final sales price ends up lower than it would have been if adjustments had been made earlier. Now, I want to address something that might be uncomfortable but is important to say. There's no benefit during these sessions when you're receiving data. Mm-hmm. There's no benefit to negotiating with your agent. Mm. Your agent doesn't set the market. They don't control buyer opinions. They don't decide what your house is worth on any given day. They interpret the market. They guide you through it. They advocate for you within it once you get an offer. But when they bring you feedback, whether it's about price, presentation, or strategy, that is not a negotiation, it's information. Hmm. Trying to win that conversation with your agent doesn't move your home any closer to selling. In fact, it does the opposite, because the market will always have the final say. So what does a healthy, productive relationship look like in today's environment? It looks like collaboration. It looks like trust. It looks like a willingness to listen, even when it's hard. And it doesn't mean you have to agree with everything immediately, but it does mean being open to patterns, to data, and to the reality of how buyers are responding. The most successful sellers right now are the ones who treat feedback as a tool, not a threat. They partner with their agent instead of pushing against them, and they understand that adapting quickly is not a sign of weakness, it's a strategy. At the end of the day, you and your agent want the same thing, to sell your home for the best possible price, in the least amount of time with the least inconvenience, but that outcome depends on alignment, because when the relationship breaks down, the strategy breaks down, and when the strategy breaks down, the results follow. So if you're selling or thinking about selling, remember this, your agent is not your opponent. They're your guide. And in a market like this, you don't want to fight the person who's trying to help you navigate it.
Yeah. I mean, I just kept thinking that you're kind of cutting off your nose to spite your face. It's like I think it's important that you said it. It's not a negotiation. You're bringing just information and it's data. Is that problem increasing? I mean, we were talking about emotion with Elizabeth and emotion and emotion, and I keep hearing that coming up a lot. Mm-hmm.
It's increasing exponentially. I think sellers have muscle memory from the unicorn years, and we're not in that market anymore.
No.
And there's nothing a realtor can do. And I know that we're starting to go down a path when I have a client who starts getting into the weeds. Mm-hmm. Getting into the weeds is, you know, telling me about things that, as an agent, you've shared with me that you have a chicken coop, for example. And that you think that because we didn't do a picture of a chicken coop, that that's why your house hasn't sold. That's getting in the weeds. Yeah. If you don't listen to your agent when they tell you to paint your purple bedroom because you're sentimental about it, that's getting into the weeds. Your agent has tried to tell you because they know. I know the shorthand that I like to use is I tell sellers, your house needs to be HGTV ready. Yeah. If that's offensive, that's a shorthand because everybody's watched HGTV and we know what those houses look like that those buyers are walking through. If your house doesn't look like that, it's not me, you know, trying to offend you over your decorating taste.
Yeah.
It's me trying to help you understand what it's going to take to get this house to be the one that's chosen. If I have a car that's in the market and I'm one of those people that likes the ducks in my windshield, you know, the dealer's going to tell me to take the ducks. I'm glad you enjoyed them while it was your car, but now it's a commodity and you want it to go to market and sell for top dollar. Remove the ducks. Remove the purple paint.
Take the eyelashes off your headlights.
Amen.
All right, that is really good advice. All right, we're going to take a break till the bottom of the hour news. Come on back for more Real Estate Insights.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Real Estate Insights Tuesday with Amy McLeod and Elizabeth Smith. So you kind of went down, broke it down, Amy, about, you know, the seller and, you know, you're bringing them data, your purple wall, your chicken coop, it ain't moving the needle out there. Mm-hmm. So talk to us from the other side of it now. You've got a buyer coming in and seeing your chicken coop, your purple walls, Well, if you have your car parked in the driveway with eyelashes on it and ducks there, that tells me a lot about you, but that's okay. So it's all a matter of personal taste.
There you
but
go.
But your personal taste is your personal taste.
Well, all this talk about sellers pushing back on feedback and sometimes pushing back on their own agent. So let's talk about where that feedback is actually coming from. Because, today's buyers, they're not the same as what we saw a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And if you don't understand how they think, you're going to misread everything they do. So here's the first thing you have to know. Today's buyers have been looking for a long time, not weeks, not even a couple months. Think 12, 15, even 18 months. And that means by the time they see your home, they are seasoned. They've seen everything. Mm. They've watched homes sit. They've watched prices drop. They've watched your price drop. Mm. They know what sells fast and what doesn't. They're educated and they are patient. So how are they shopping? Online. They scroll fast, they make decisions in seconds, and the pattern is almost the same. Mm. Photos, price, and then days on market. And this is where sellers get into trouble because buyers don't just notice days on market, they start building a story about it. And it starts simple. Why hasn't this sold? Is it overpriced? What's wrong with it? But then it shifts and it gets personal. Is this seller unrealistic? Are they going to be difficult? Do I even want to deal with this person? Ooh. Before they ever walk through your door, they've already decided what kind of seller they think you are. And here's the hard truth. If your home has been sitting and you've been slowly dropping the price, you may be telling the market a story you didn't intend to tell. Because slow price reductions don't feel strategic to buyers, they feel reactive. They feel like resistance, like a seller who started too high, didn't listen, and might still not be listening. And that changes how buyers behave. They don't come in strong. They don't come in clean. They come in cautious or aggressive, or sometimes not at all. Mm. They might throw out a low ball offer just to test you. They might assume you're going to be a grind in negotiations, or they just skip your home completely because they don't want the experience with you. All of that before you've had a conversation with them. And this is why that strategy, let's start high and just come down slowly, doesn't work well in this market. Because while you're adjusting, buyers are watching. And they've been watching for a long time, 12, 15, 18 months. They're not in a hurry. Interest rates aren't compelling them to do anything, but they are making judgments. So instead of creating urgency, you've created doubt. Instead of attracting strong offers, you attract opportunistic ones. And this is exactly why your agent keeps coming back to you about price, about positioning, about timing. The agent is not trying to push you into a bad offer. The nice thing about commission is the more you make, the more your agent makes. So they're motivated to get you top dollar. But what they are trying to do is control the narrative that they know is going on behind the scenes before the buyers write it for you. Because in today's market, buyers aren't just evaluating their home. They're evaluating you, whether you're reasonable, whether you're realistic, whether you're someone they even want to be in a deal with. And that story they tell themselves, it will determine if they write an offer and exactly how that offer is going to show up. So you got to be careful. What's the story that you're creating in the mind of the buyer?
You're so right on that. And I will tell you that when I get text messages or phone calls from clients that are pre-approved and they're like, hey, Elizabeth, you take a look at this one. They'll text it to me. And they're like, and this is very different. And you hit it on the head, which I just realized this. They will say to me, this has been on the market for X number of days. You are 100% right. They are paying attention to that, where they used to never bring that up. Now they're bringing it up with me and they're like, I think I can offer less because it's been on the market for, you know, 45 days, or I think we can go in low. And so what would the payment look like if I got it at this price and it's $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 lower?
Oh, at least.
Yeah. And that is a pattern. That's a true pattern. And I, as you said that, I went, oh my gosh, I've had that conversation last week. Multiple times. Yeah. So I agree with you. This whole come in high and go down, you price it according to what the market's going to give you for it. Because otherwise, you're going to have the stories told.
Yeah.
And the clients literally do that.
Well, and then I'm assuming an agent worth their salt is telling them that. A buyer's agent is saying, is laying all that out for you. I think it's really important that you, it's sort of shot chaser, you back that up. I don't think most people think about that the buyer is forming an opinion on you based on things that... Yeah, that's so interesting. Before they even shake your hand or meet you or anything, they've already got a picture of who you are.
100%.
And whether it's positive or negative, it's all that information you're putting out to the market. That's fascinating.
It really is. And they literally, they'll run these things before they even reach out to their agent. They're talking to me. And they're saying, hey, what can we, and they haven't even talked to their agent.
Right. Well, that's smart.
Right. Well, because they're looking at the math and they're going, wow, you know what? I really wanted that $3,000 payment, not that $3,200. How could I get it down? What would I have to offer them in order to get my payment at $3,000 instead of $3,200, which is kind of like the high end of my budget? So they're having this conversation with their lenders, and we're doing the math backwards to go, well, you're going to have to get it down, you know, $20,000 or whatever to get it there. So be aware of that. You know, Amy just gave you gold right there. That's the truth.
Well, it became so apparent for me because we're looking for a house in Arizona.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm shopping on realtor.com. Yeah. And what I didn't realize this, but I realized, you know, the first thing I'm looking for after price in the picture is what's the days on market. But then I can go on realtor.com and I can see their entire history. How many price reductions they've taken, what did they buy the house for, how long ago did they buy it, you know, there's charts and graphs there of, you know, the value of the house, where it's gone. But more importantly, it serves me up other houses, other similar houses that are for sale. So I'm literally looking at the competition. I can be looking at one house, same square footage, because we're looking at a planned development, same model, you know, in the same development. One is improved and one is not, and they're asking the same price.
Wow.
And I'm sitting here scratching my head going, well, let's see. Either these realtors are real dumb or I got a seller that's not listening. So why would I waste my time trying to negotiate when I can just, you know, go negotiate with the one who appears to be listening?
You bring up a really good point on that data, too, because what I had just Friday, met with a guy. He looked at it and he saw what the what they had bought the property for 5-6 years ago. And he's like, wow, they bought it for this. They're asking this. They're walking away with $200,000. Now, he has no idea whether or not you did upgrades or anything else or what the mortgage is or did you cash out. He has none of that data, but he's literally thinking in his head, they're walking away with this much, so they want $550. I'll offer them $530 because they're already getting all that. And then I want them to pay all my closing costs. By the time it was all said and done with agent fees, it was well over $50,000. He was asking him to come down. And it's just...
And that may be what it takes.
Yeah.
It may be what it takes.
So that's a real paradigm shift then too. And just as far as in a buyer, you've got to really sort of break that mold. And I know, Amy, you and I, but we've been talking about sort of everyone hanging on to the unicorn years. I told you before we went on air, I saw a listing over in Bend where they were starting out at like 1.2 and they've already dropped at 330. And that's, there's a perception, and that is telling the market something. So that's happening all over. That's in Bend where you think everything is like red hot, and it's not.
Right. And you know, to the topic is, you can be angry at your agent for saying, we got to drop it. But the agent's simply telling you, no different than your stockbroker, the stock is not selling for the price you want. Yeah. So you have a choice. And one of the things that we're telling sellers is, you got to be in this market to win it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get in the market unless you're prepared to do what it takes. Know what your bottom line is. Because I can't change what the market's doing. No agent can. I can only tell you what it's indicating. So as an example, I had a couple, their house had been on the market for 3 months, $400,000 house. We got an offer and they wanted $13,000 in closing costs. Grumble, grumble, grumble. It's the only offer we had in 3 months. And then they came back and wanted repairs, $10,000 worth of repairs. And the response was, well, do they expect us to give them everything? No. You don't have to give them anything. Don't be mad at the one person who showed interest, wrote an offer, just because they ask you. And you either get to say yes, no, or somewhere in between. That's negotiations.
So, and is this indicative of a seller that isn't listening when that feedback is coming in, if they only had one offer?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was short.
Okay. So they kind of put themselves in that position.
Yeah, I think a whole lot of people need to read The Art of the Deal. They would probably understand better how to navigate the business world and negotiations. Yeah. And they might also understand a little bit better how our president operates.
Yeah, well, and I think a lot of that is foreign to a lot of people, and it makes people uncomfortable, which is why I've always said when we have you both on to have those relationships and to bring in a professional to help you navigate that, especially in this market. Let's go ahead and take our last break, and we'll come back and talk about a little bit more about the market and a little bit more on sellers. You know, when your seller is paying for everything, and a little bit of agita on today's show, but that's okay, because it sounds like it's out there in the market and in the world. So we're going to dig a little bit deeper into that in our last segment. Again, we're talking Real Estate Insights with Amy McLeod and Elizabeth Smith, and you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denison Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
All right, everybody. We are wrapping up our Real Estate Insights Tuesdays with Amy McLeod and Elizabeth Smith. So, Amy, you say the market is a two-sided coin.
Well, it is.
What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is that what we know is that 67% of buyers are sellers. So 67, you know, sellers are also buyers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the same market that's asking you to be more flexible as a seller is giving you more power if you're in that majority of people who are also a buyer. So think about what buyers are experiencing right now. More inventory, more choices, less competition, less pressure, and more room to negotiate. So buyers today are asking for things that were almost unheard of just a few years ago. They want closing cost credits, as many as they can get. They want repairs after inspection. I just had one where the furnace was 24 years old. The useful life of a furnace is 15 to 20 years. They asked for the furnace to be replaced, even though at 24 years, it's still working to get that deal done, we replace the furnace.
Okay.
They want interest rate buy downs, and they're getting them. So now, even if you're not seeing a lot of new construction in your neighborhood, one of the things that I do and a lot of buyers do is they're paying attention to what the national new home builders are doing. Because these folks are the professional sellers in our industry. They do this all day long. And they've got economists, they've got analysts, they've got entire teams studying the market in real time. And what are those people doing? They're covering all the closing costs. They're buying interest rates down into the threes and fours. They're offering significant upgrades and incentives. Using myself as an example, in Arizona, we looked at a new home construction. Mm-hmm. They were going to cover all of our closing costs. They were going to buy our rate down to 2.99, and they were giving us $75,000 in upgrades, selling us the house at base price. They're not doing that by accident. They're doing it because what it takes to move inventory, that's what it takes to move inventory in this market. So when your agent is telling you, you might have to pay closing costs, that might include money for the interest rate and the agent commission that the buyer is contracted to pay, and you're going to need to do all the repairs and perhaps some of the upgrades. Now you're doing the things that the professional home sellers are doing. So when they suggest that, it's not your agent guessing. It's them translating what the broader market at the highest level is already doing in this environment. So don't shoot your agent for bringing that information to you. Mm-hmm. Thank them. They are not the problem. They're trying to help you compete. You have to decide if you're in a financial position to compete.
Mm-hmm.
It's the message is not the problem. You must decide what you can do. So buyers are comparing everything. Even if it's not directly down the street, just like me, they're seeing the incentives online. They're hearing about those deals, and it shapes what they expect from every seller. So if you're a seller who's also planning to buy, you're stepping into that same environment. You don't just experience the challenge of selling, you get the advantage of buying as well. But your mindset matters. If you stay focused only on what you didn't get on your side of the sale, you'll miss what's available to you on your purchase. And that's the longer play anyway. That's where you're going to land. So I see this happen. Sellers hold firm on their price. No, I'm not going to come down anymore. They resist the market. They delay adjustments. They try holding on to a number that made sense months ago. One of the deals we just did, they wanted $10,000 in repairs. And I said, hold on. You've negotiated a 2.99 with a builder down in Texas. Let's see if we take $10,000 out of your equity to do what this buyer wants. What is that going to do to your payment down there? It changed their payment by $50. But if they got out of the deal because they said bye-bye to their buyer, the builder let them know, we're not buying down to 2.99. Now we're going to buy down to 3.99. They would have lost on that end. So you're also losing time in this market. Time doesn't just pass. It's shifting your position, just like it would have shifted theirs. Mm-hmm. So while you're holding the line on your sale, the opportunity on the buy sides are moving. Homes are coming to the market. Price adjustments are happening. Deals are being made. And the sellers who move with the market are the ones who get to take advantage. There's a moment when everything lines up and you've got your house positioned correctly. You've accepted where the market is, and now you get to step into your next purchase with clarity and leverage. So instead of asking, what did I lose? Ask, what does this market allow me to do next? Because maybe you have more negotiating power than you expected on the other end. You have more options, better terms, more time to make a smart decision, and that's not a loss, that's a shift. So real estate is always a two-sided equation. And in today's market, the win isn't always obvious if you only look at one side. But when you step back and you look at the full picture, that's where the opportunity shows up. So yes, this market feels different, but it may also be setting you up for a better next move than you realize.
So you really are saying take a look at the whole picture. Do you have a lot of people that do that just get sort of myopic and focus on the one thing? And again, you, a little bit of, you know, sort of cutting off your nose to spite your face, you're going to plant a flag over here and lose out over here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I see a lot of people, instead of looking at this as a financial decision, I have this much money coming out of my house, and that's going to allow me to negotiate heavily as your buyers negotiated. In most markets, you can negotiate. Now you're educated, right? Go negotiate as heavy as they did with you.
Yeah.
You've got to look at both sides of it. Because you honestly, you can't win on both sides. You know, when sellers were winning in the unicorn years, buyers were not winning, right? Yeah. Okay, so you at that time, if you had to move, you won as a seller, but you might be getting your fanny kicked when you were trying to buy a replacement property, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so it's just the reverse now. And what I see people doing is turning this into a, how dare they? Do they expect us to do everything for them? Frankly, the answer is yes. Mm. In this market, they do. Mm-hmm. They do. Because like I was trying to tell a seller the other day, people are driving up and down the highway every single day, looking at gas stations every couple of blocks, telling them gas, inflation is out of control. Gas is at $5 a gallon. That's a very real thing that's reinforcing for them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can't afford this house. We're fighting that all the time. So you don't help yourself when you get self-righteous about what your pride thinks you should have for price, and how dare they ask you to pay closing costs? How dare they ask you to do repairs? How dare your realtor ask you to make upgrades to your house so that it looks more like HGTV, where everyone has been educated about what a house should look like before I'm going to buy it. That's your agent trying to guide you. And now you can have the same expectations when you are the buyer on the other side.
And stop with the with the friction. And it's really, excuse me, just hearing that, because we see that in so many other aspects where it seems like, and again, the algorithms, for lack of just, it seems like everything is an algorithm, is set up to do that.
Yes.
So you have to be consciously not do that, and to work with somebody. And it's a mindset, Jim. Like I said, it's a paradigm shift on both the buyer and the seller, it sounds like. Because it is, the unicorn years were just that. And they're gone and they're over and it's time to move on. And Elizabeth, you're saying the same thing. If you just look at it, try to be as dispassionate as you can and look at it from a pure number statistic.
Exactly.
And it's negotiating.
Negotiating. And exactly like Amy was saying, that $10,000 is $50 a month, right? And a lot of times right now I have people that are like, oh gosh, you know, I can't afford this payment. And I just had another one that was like, hey, if you sell it for this, you get this much. We pay off all your debt, and then your mortgage payment with little down on like an FHA loan, you now can afford, your cash flow is better. It's not just the mortgage payment. It's the overall cash flow. So this is definitely not push button, get mortgage. You got to be strategic in this.
Yeah. Buying and selling real estate really is the perfect example of there are many ways to skin a cat.
Yes.
And you have got to have advisors like Elizabeth, like us, realtors that we can refer you to if you're going out of state, people who are going to sit down and start moving the puzzle pieces around to make it fit. What we really need to know from our clients is, wherever you're going, what is the payment that you feel like you want to take on for that new house? And now we start working backwards. Can we make that happen for you?
Yeah.
But, you know,
go ahead.
Being cagey with your agent about what you, what your bottom line is, or what you can afford, with being cagey with your lender, not good.
Great information. Again, Amy McLeod, Elizabeth Smith, always great information. We are out of time. That is it for us today. All of this will be in show notes with links and everything. We will see you guys tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.